Pan Bóg się ustanie, Pan staje. That's one thing. Also today, right after we read everything, after you go home, we eat a suda, and then drink the real and daven mincha, and then eat suda mamsekas afterwards. We basically split up. First, eat a regular meal, and then afterwards, eat a different meal, just a bread and an egg. No two cooked foods, just a bread and an egg. Bread and
what time is that?
What time is that? You should do it before shkiv. So probably you should eat there suda mamsekas, probably about 7 o'clock. So make sure to be done by 7:35.
Everything.
And basically, right, so in Suda of Sekhs, we eat our shoes. We leave our shoes off for the Suda, but we take them off by Shkia. We take off our shoes after Shkia.
And
why
don't you
remember
where
a lot of
shoes are in the week?
What?
That's not
your big
sense. Can you learn, like,
where
are
on
Tishabah?
No, Shalom, I'm coming out of Tishabah, no.
Or maybe there's some parts of it.
There are some parts of it.
Reminder, drink plenty of water.
Everybody should drink a lot of water. Everybody has to drink a lot of water, drink watermelon today, eat watermelon. Right, you should. It's tiring. There are certain things,
no,
let's say we're not doing water.
But
the tefillos you can say, obviously.
They're special.
No, you might have to do
it. But still,
you might say for the mice, it's Derek Tefillah. Yeah, it's for
no,
sure. You have said a lot of things.
Special ones for
Tishba. There's special tefillah, good tefillah. For Tishba, for sure, you can say with the tefillah, you can say with the tefillah, for sure. Tehillim, they had to make a wrestle by the same thing in Akali, even to show up in the morning. People try to say it after Chatzais. I mean, 10 to think in Akali, because even Tehillim, you shouldn't say it on Tisha B'Av. Whatever's Kavua Tefillah, we say. Whatever's the Tefillah, we say. Dark learning, pretty much we say thinking Akali. If someone says it every day, or they have their set Tehillim every day, someone tries to say Tehillim every day, then they say the rest of them are lenient to say it after Chatzais. Some people don't say it all the day, the whole day. But the rest of them, they used to say Tikkun HaKol, they said Uman, they used to say Tikkun HaKol even in the morning. Okay. So but my son, the minute we try to say after Chatzais, you can say Tikkun HaKol after Chatzais.
So what do we do at midnight?
No, midnight you say Tikkun HaKol. You say Tikkun HaKol. So for sure, tonight you say Tikkun HaKol. And tomorrow afternoon also you say Tikkun HaKol. It's not Tikkun HaKol, you say Tehillim. We try to say Tehillim. Can we this afternoon also? This afternoon is not as strict as tomorrow. I mean, the meaning is not to learn also from this afternoon those things. It's not as strict as tomorrow as on Tisha B'Av.
Tonight's Tikkun HaKol is the most important.
It's interesting because it's Tisha B'Av, you only say Tikkun Leah because there's no Tachna. Whenever there's no Tachna, you don't say, right, Tikkun HaKol is Tikkun Rachel, Tikkun Leah.
Wow.
Right?
Okay.
Whenever there is no.
What is Tikkun Leah? What's Tikkun
Leah? You open it up, you'll see in the Siddur, just a certain Prakim of Tehillim, certain chapters are called Tikkun Rachel. The first half, the second half is called Tikkun Leah. Any time we don't say Tachna, there's no Vidur that day, it's Yom Tov, or any, it's Rosh Chodesh, or Tisha B'Av also, since it's going to turn into a holiday, we don't say Tachna, so therefore we also don't say Tikkun Rachel. You only say the second half of Tikkun Chatzai. It's interesting, even though it's Tisha B'Av, but we believe it's going to turn into a Yom Tov, so you only say the second half, you only say Tikkun Leah today. It feels weird sometimes, the main night. Yeah, it's very important to say Tikkun Chatzai tonight, where we get up. They record the exact point. The Brussels goes, they hold our results like Feed the Magen Avraham. It's a shayla, but the Brussels, the meaning is, Rav Nachman said, we call it Feed the Magen Avraham. That's how we also hold that Pasha, our results. Understanding that Chatzai is always exactly 6 hours after Seitz HaKacham, no matter what. Which means now Seitz HaKacham is almost exactly 8 o'clock. Because Shkia is about 7
o'clock. 20 minutes after Shkia.
20 minutes after Shkia is Seitz HaKacham.
6 hours and
20
minutes after Shkia.
Right, which means fine. You say Seitz HaKacham is going to be. That's what we hold, about 20-25 minutes. That's impressive what they say usually. That's what I heard from my Rebbein. So now, if Shkia is about 7:40, about 8 o'clock is going to be Tzitzit Chachavim, somewhere around there. So 6 hours later, exactly, it'll be 2 o'clock a.m. So according to that Chachavim, basically 2 o'clock is 2 a.m. is the Nekuda of Chatzais, and the 2 hour span from 2 till 4. 2 a.m. to 4 a.m. is the span of Chatzais to do all your things. That's the way they do the rest of it. That's a 2 hour span. And we hope Tikkun Chatzais goes for. So tonight's a good thing. If we can do it, we'll do it tonight, even then, it's mamash. It's a very good idea. Whoever can, at least say Tikkun Chatzais, Tikkun Leah tonight. do whatever. Even if you just get up and say one piece of Tehillim, my chassid is very high. You say some people say even just turn over, roll over in bed, say Hashem, bring the gula, go back to sleep. That's all the contrast.
Wasn't there a video that you would already be here?
Yeah, hopefully it'll be
the same.
Someone mentioned that one of them is the deeper exos, which is wake up for names.
That's more important to wake up feeling and say 10 days. But for everyone to know themselves, they know that they're doing good with getting up dates every morning, right? Then try to do that. Some people, you know, they do better with they do with the group. They go to dates every morning. You know, say they get up yourself. Everyone to know themselves. If a person has a choice, let's say tonight, a person says, well, either I could get up for chatzais and try to stay up and do something to do for chatzais Tisha B'Av night. And then I'm going to go back to sleep and wake up. I'll daven a normal minute, I'll daven a 7:30 minute, 8 o'clock minute. So, Pash, I'll be Allah, that's better. Then a person could say, oh, I'm not going to get up chatzais, and I'll daven a masik in 5 o'clock in the morning. So, it's better to get up chatzais and say to chatzais, even if I know I won't be able to get up a sikin, to daven a nais, to daven a little later, it's better, I'll be Allah. And Shulchan Aruch wrote down that it's more important to daven to chatzais than nais. Again, everybody has to know the situation, but unlike a everybody has to know. A lot of people, they're not going to get up chatzais on their own every night, but they will get up for sikin every morning. Everybody has to know the situation, but yes, it is brought down halacha. The tikkun chatzais is more important than davening shachas with nair.
Only tikkun leilah?
Only tikkun leilah, because there's no tachim. Any day there's no bidui, there's only tikkun leilah. Like Rosh Chodesh, the next day is going to be Rosh Chodesh, you only say tikkun leilah.
No. Right. Do you know which films are tikkun leilah?
You open it up there. I don't know. You open it up in the sitter, and it has tikkun chatzais. Every normal, most normal sitter have tikkun chatzais in it. Or if not, you buy a pamphlet from the Swedish hour. Right. No, some people they open some like modern day sitter. That's not normal. Whatever. Some sitter. Right. Get a svarim sitter, or a nisach svarim, or you buy a book, the Swedish hour. Yeah, that you have that book. No, you have a book from the Swedish hour.
Oh, no.
I think you have that. I think you told you once reading.
I don't know. I noticed some of them like cut
it's
out.
It's different. Nachon, the Sephardi ones have more than the Tehillim, which is from the Arizal. The Ashkenazi ones also have added kinos, which came later. Added like different poems, different things, which came later. The Sephardi one is more just basic from the Arizal, basic Tehillim. The Ashkenazi one has more added kinos from other big rabbis. It's nice to say that, but it's not a bridge. The real thing from the Arizal, the real one is the Sephardi one. That's the real one. The other one is added. The one with just the Tehillim, basically, that's the real Tikkun Chatzais. And the Ashkenazi one, that's not the Brit version, that's the real version. Ashkenazi one added afterwards, different people came along at different points in history, and they added more. Obviously, it's very important to say them. Added kinos, added little pieces of lamentation. But the Sephardi one is from the Arizal. That's the real one. Everything else is added, so it's good. But don't make fun of the Sephardi Tikkun Chatzais. I'm messing with the Sephardi Tikkun Chatzais.
No,
I'm joking.
I didn't know. I actually didn't.
That's the real
that
one. That's the real one. The other one is added.
I have a question.
Yeah.
This is discussing this.
Yes.
When I first became Chozer B'Tshuva, I was going to a particular Chabad, and I was telling him I was doing this, and he says, oh, no, you shouldn't be doing this every night.
Okay, some people have been holding it too extreme, but the rest of them say it's beautiful. We shouldn't do it.
Okay, I just...
I don't know why you say you shouldn't do it. It's Shulchan Aruch said every year
I heard in the Shulchan Aruch.
Here, can I say in the stand of sitter, you just decide if you want to look up which the hell it is. Here says Tikkun Rachel, and then here says Tikkun Rachel. A few pages later, it'll say Tikkun Leil. Fine.
Okay.
I don't know why they said it. In Shulchan Aruch, it says that every Rishamayim should try to get up a Tikkun Chatzais. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. So it's Allah in Shulchan Aruch. Right in the first 7 seconds of Shulchan Aruch, it says every Rishamayim, the Mishmur over there, who wasn't Chazir, who wasn't Preslav, he says every person should do it. Look at the Mishmur over there, he talks a lot about Tikkun Chatzais. That's Hasidish, but he talks a lot about he strengthened. All the rest of us should do halacha. Also, Rav Nachman did stress Tikkun Chatzais, that is a very big part of the Avoda, and Bresla, Rav Nachman did stress it.
Reading through
Shulchan Aruch. It's true. Also, Rabbi is saying the main breast of the Machna Chatzais, the Machna trying to keep every halacha in Shulchan Aruch.
Yeah.
So if you start from the beginning, usually you'll hit it pretty quick.
People don't know.
It's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch.
Yeah.
Right, the Chol Yishmaim. Yeah, it says Rav Nachman Yerushalmi. A mitzvah v'dayeg al chorav et beisam ektash. Every Yerushalmiim should worry and should pain them, and they should get up on Chatzais. It's in the Shulchan Aruch. You can open up the Shulchan Aruch from the Shavura, first book, right in the beginning. Fine. Also, fine. So that's tonight. Tonight you go to shul, and then tomorrow morning, some people, I think Yeshiva does not wear talis. Most Ashkenazim don't wear talis or tefillin. Many Yerushalayim and some Sfarim do wear talis tomorrow, but most people don't wear talis or tefillin. You put on talis on 12 minutes, right? You sit on the floor until Chatzos, until 12:47, and then after 12:47, you can sit on a chair, still trying to eat anything, still till, and whatever. You still learn Tishbuv things till the night, till again, till about Tzitzit Chalom, it's going to be till about 8 o'clock. You eat again. Most lenient opinions is, it's going to be about 8 to 5. Around 25 minutes after Shkia is going to be the first opinion to eat. That's basically right. Then the regular halachas. What? About, check up your calendar. It's going to be 25 minutes after will be the first Shkia. So Shkia is 7:50, 7:40. So it's 8:05 will be 25 minutes again. I'm trying to show the calendars at more strict times, 36 minutes and 40 minutes. But
you said 7:35 is when the fast starts?
Yeah, I'll say Shkia is 7:38 exactly, but the person say should always be mocking the weather and the clocks and always be mocking 2 or 3 minutes. They say Shabbos also, so 7:35, you should stop eating 7:35. Take your shoes before 7, right before 7:35. After your scrumptious meal, do your bread.
I'll say
every 7 seconds, if a person has in mind, let's say a person is benching at 7:20, right? They're benching. If you have in mind to drink afterwards, you're allowed to drink. Once you bench, you're not allowed to eat anymore. But if you had in mind to drink, you're allowed to drink until 7:35. You could drink up until 7:35. Make sure to have in mind. Most
and then you do Meir and Eichel?
And then you go to... then do Meir. Meir is first, and then Kinos and Eichel after. And after Meir, Meir is maybe, let's say, most places 8 or 8:05, right, by 20 minutes. 8:01 maybe. Basically 8 o'clock is going to be Meir. So right after you start, you walk to shul, 7:35, whatever, you do your thing. Mincha is not before. Make sure that Mincha before.
They have
4 o'clock, but they'll probably have a 120 here also. But then, really, the minute is to eat a suda, and then but it doesn't really work out for everybody. So you eat a regular meal first, then stop, and a little later, 20 minutes later, eat suda mafsekis, just the bread and eggs, separate, just the mourner's meal, with the ashes and salt on the floor. Fine, good? That's basically the
I went this morning.
Right. It says no mikvah tomorrow. Tishvav, no mikvah tomorrow. But there are most mikvahs. Most chassidim don't want to miss a day of mikvah. Most men's mikvahs are open matzei Tishvav. Right after Tishvav, they have kiddush levana, and yeah, mikvahs are usually open. You know, a lot of mikvahs are open. Maybe not already. A lot of random Yerushalayim, they're all open because Yerushalayim.
People are going to go erev Tishvav like after.
Right, so you go after the
fast.
No,
that's
today. After the fast, a lot of mikvahs because many Yerushalayim really. Not even chassidim. The Yerushalayim was to go to mikvah every day. Even the prusha of a lot of people. So the mikvahs in Yerushalayim, a lot of them are open matzei tishva. After the Passover, you eat. A lot of people have minyan for kiddush levana. Also, you make kiddush levana matzei tishva. As the tishva, right after the maariv, there's a mitzvah right away to start to make kiddush levana. Because the minyan is we don't make kiddush levana when we're like in the morning. Make kiddush levana right after the maariv. It's like in kippur. Yes, it's very similar. But also, you make sure you put your shoes on for.
And no meat and wine until
the five now. According to Ashkenazim, it's chatzais. But now the Sfarim are machlokes. It's interesting. There's one thing the Sfarim are more strict than Ashkenazim, that they don't eat meat and drink wine or hear music until the night of, until Wednesday night, until the night of it. Since
the middle of the day.
The Ashkenazim wait until Chatzais.
The day.
Chatzais day Wednesday.
Also music.
Music, yeah. And wow. I think music this is better. For sure not at night. Could be some cheapest old music in the morning. But meat and wine for sure, things are shy. But for sure not at night. Night there's no music, meaning Tishbuv of night. Tuesday night, meaning. There's no music and no meat and wine.
Right, Wednesday.
I think Wednesday there's some people.
Basically everything.
Yeah, basically everything starts Chatzai. I think also no music. I think could be the Shabbat positive, no music and no meat and wine until Chatzai is for Ashkenazim, because that was when the Beis Hamikdash burned. The Beis Hamikdash it started burning on Tisha B'Av, but it mainly burned on the 10th. But Chazal said it's too hard for us to fast 2 days straight, so they let us just fast just 1 day, just the night. But the 10th also is still a day of mourning.
Really. Are there anybody in the world that fasts?
I'm sure some people try, but I don't know. It could be the Beis Hamikdash, but I never heard of anybody fast. But could be, but the Beis Hamikdash, the Ikra fast, it also burned them. It burned the whole time till the afternoon of the night, till the afternoon of the 10th.
That's
what Chatzais goes till basically the afternoon of the 10th. So you do till Chatzais, but Sfarim go all the way. It was like more in the afternoon. It was more like later in the afternoon it burned the till. So Sfarim go all the way till the night. We're strict to keep the halacha all the way till the night.
How long does this 3 weeks last?
How long does 3 weeks last? It's going to be over.
I mean, what?
So it's going to be over the Chatzais on Wednesday, day The day after Tishba B'Av Chatzai is midday for you, you're Ashkenazi. Midday, you can do whatever you want. Start taking haircuts, listen to music, have a barbecue, drink wine, do all the things you want after midday. Right. But if you want to become Friday, it's worth it. But if you want to become Friday, just wait till the night.
Get a haircut at your barbecue.
Yeah, the haircut, and put the hair in the thing, use the hair for the thing. Then, fine. So that's basically the halacha. Whatever. Then there's the regular halacha, so five things after.
Oh, that's fine.
So
let's say 1 second.
No haircut and no meat until you
Till the night.
Right, but you don't come here on night.
Take maybe 10 minutes, it's worth it, just review all the halakha so you don't possibly do it right. So whoever has is abo in the Beis HaMikdash, then they'll see the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Even if they don't see the rebuilding of the big Beis HaMikdash, they'll see the rebuilding of their own Beis HaMikdash. Inside everybody, our own Yerushalayim, our own Beis HaMikdash, mm-hmm. will do the halakha's right. So we try to review them, everybody on their own. You know, a lot of time, from this afternoon until tomorrow night, to review all the halakha. Kiddush Shofar. But Shabbat doesn't come. If not, you get reward for learning halacha. You learn.
Sure.
You learn. Yeah, hopefully Shabbat will come. Fine. Let's see now. Chavisayim, day 54. Almost. Chanan got it then.
Yes.
Day 54. As he says, what happens if, when we're sitting at a table, and suddenly someone starts speaking Lashon Hara? I'm innocently sitting at a table, and someone decides to start speaking Lashon Hara. What do you do?
I feel faint.
You feel faint. But what are you doing?
And I leave the table.
So what are you supposed to do? So the first thing is, if you are in a situation that if you could help the other people, rebuke them in a way that they'll accept it in a nice way, and they'll listen to you, that's what you should do. That's the first thing to do. If you can rebuke them to make them stop speaking Lashon Hara, that's the first thing to do. If it's not possible, for whatever reason, they're different, I feel they're not going to listen to me, or you know, I'm embarrassed, whatever reason it is, right? If I'm not going to tell them to stop speaking Lashon Hara, then the Chavetz Chaim says the great mitzvah to leave. Get up and leave at the table. Leave. Now let's say that's also impossible. In some situations, I can't rebuke them. It's not my place to rebuke them. Those are the big rabbis. I feel it's too hard. And I can't leave the table. It's a meeting. I have to be here. I can't just leave. That's the situation. Right? Then, and I didn't bring my situations. Then, a person should, what's the third option? First thing is rebuke them nicely. If I can't leave, let's say I can't leave. I can't rebuke them, I can't leave. What should I do now?
Change the subject.
I can't change the subject. My situation, I can't change the subject. Oh, change the subject. That's what everyone wants to say. He said, kick them under the table. Let's say, someone says, kick them. It's a situation I can't close my ears. For whatever reason, they have whatever in these situations. He said, like this.
They're coughing really loud.
Start coughing. Tell him. No, it's a situation. You have to stay with me. You try to go to the bathroom. You came back. They're still in the middle of their thing. Then tell you, oh, let me go get a drink. They're still coming. You come back. They're still busy. You can't get out of it. Let's say you're in a car with a ride with people. There's nowhere to go. You're in a car. People are driving you somewhere, and you can't jump out right now. This situation. Not to listen to you. You can't leave. So what do you do? Right. So clients are like this. Even in a situation that you must be there. What? Go to sleep. Yeah, but you can hear the Lashon Hara, you sleep. You're really listening because you really want to hear the Lashon Hara. What do you do? So what should you do? You should decide firmly in your mind that you refuse to believe anything that's being said. Because what's my problem? My problem is accepting Lashon Hara. Right? I'm sitting here. I can't rebuke that they're speaking Lashon Hara is terrible. But my accepting Lashon Hara is a problem. Therefore, I have to make sure to make a firm decision on it. I refuse to believe anything they're saying. Right? Because Chavetz Chaim says, this person they're speaking about, he's a kosher Jew. He has a status of a kosher Jew. These people are speaking Lashon Hara, so they lose their status of being a kosher Jew. So I don't believe what these people are saying. And make sure not to make any facial expressions that I agree with they're saying. If I can, make facial expressions that I don't really like what's going on. If I can. Right? This is all if I was already in the situation. Right, I was already in this situation. They started speaking Lashon Hara. But if I walk over to a table that is already speaking Lashon Hara, then it's not considered I got stuck. I'm not gonna, let's say I say, you know, I see you guys speaking Lashon Hara. I say, I'm going to walk over to the table. I'm going to decide firmly in my mind I'm not going to accept what they say. That you can't do. and someone who willfully walked over to a table of Lashon Hara is written in Shemayim as a Ba'al Lashon Hara, one who speaks habitually speaks Lashon Hara, and he gets the reward of not getting to see the Shechina. He can't go to Mashiach. Hashem says, you talk better than Jews, but you know, then you'll be rewarded and you won't be able to see the Shechina because you want to remove the Shechina from this world. It's fine, so you're not interested, so you won't be able to greet the Shechina. Now, there's a famous story at the Chafetz Chaim. It says, one time, he was getting a ride with a bunch of, who was he getting a ride with? He was in the company of a bunch of horse traders. Yes, they, instead of selling cars, these the horse. Then, what happened? They started speaking Lashon Hara, these guys. Chafetz Chaim was there, he was getting a ride with them, and he was getting hitched, I don't know. And they started speaking Lashon Hara. So you know what happened? Chafetz Chaim told them, he said, if you're talking about horses, count me in. I want to be in the conversation. If you're talking about horses. If you're talking about people, count me out. That's what he told them. If you're talking about horses, count me in. If you're talking about people, count me out. Now, how did Chafetz Chaim have the courage to approach strangers and tell them that you should, you know, if you're talking about people, count me out? It's because the answer of the Chafetz Chaim knew what was at stake. He knew that one, our sages teach that one will be inscribed in heaven as a Baal Lashon Hara, one who habitually speaks Lashon Hara. Chafetz Chaim, confronting these men with this question, was a small sacrifice. When the stakes were so very high. If I'm going to be written in Shemayim, signed off, and put down a book as a habitual speaker of Lashon Hara, or tell these guys off not to speak Lashon Hara, it's probably better to tell them not to speak Lashon Hara. Because he realized, by him it was real. By him it was real, it's not by us, it's like it's known. By him it was real, that if I speak Lashon Hara and I get involved in this conversation, Shemayim, they're going to inscribe as a Baal Lashon Hara. So he had the courage, he would really feel that if we speak Lashon Hara, we'll be inscribed in Shemayim, be put on that blacklist. We would also have the courage to not speak Lashon Hara. Fine, Baruch Hashem, that was day 54. Baruch Hashem.
Yeah,
all those jokes. All those
jokes is also. So, it's not prominent. You start telling some German jokes. That's not Lashon
Hara. Can you repeat stories of miracles?
Why not? What's the problem?
I don't know. I mean, okay, someone says that, you know, a miracle happened this week, you know, in the war. And he wrote an article. Can you repeat the article?
Yeah, sure, why not? You make Hashem's name great. You tell a miracle, you make Hashem's name great. It's beautiful. Okay, everybody, so let's see the next Mishnah. We have some time now. Let's try to see the next Mishnah. And everyone will work out. Right. Oh, let's see.
Okay,
we'll learn today about tefillah. Well, let's talk about tefillah. Chanan, you ready to talk about tefillah?
Sure.
Yeah, it's kind of tishah b'av. We had a lot. We have extra time. The afternoon's now. We should do a lot of tefillah dudes. As we said yesterday, you learn in the morning, do a lot of tefillah dudes. Now, especially now, you got to learn this afternoon and the whole tomorrow. So, what are you supposed to do? So, there's some things you could learn, but really, Hashem's forcing us to do tshuva. We want to do something good, productive with our time. Hashem wants us to do tefillah dudes. Right? That's the Rambam says. The main thing of a fast is to do tshuva. The fasting is not the main thing. The main thing is to do tshuva. We fast because the fasting humbles us to do tshuva. But the main point of the fast is to do tshuva. That's what Rambam says, Hilchas Tshuva. And it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, and the Mishaburu brings it down by Hilchas Tainus. The Mishaburu says, what's the main point of the fast, Rabbi Yosef? Not to eat.
The fast is not to eat, but of the day.
What's the main point of the day?
The main part of the day.
The main point of the day is to do tshuva. That's what Rambam says. The rabbi said the main thing is to do tshuva. We don't eat just because that's what's going to humble us and get us in tshuva mode.
It's hard to have a day that you're allowed to eat and
do misalba. Right, do misalba and focus on
the tshuva. Put you in the mode.
Yeah, put you in the mode. Nahon, but if someone just fasts and doesn't do tshuva, they miss the main point.
They're at a barbecue and they do tshuva and misalba.
Yes, they are. Yeah, but also when we don't eat, like we're humbling our body, or like we feel humble.
Right, also when you're weaker, you're closer to... Closer
to your real self. Come on. Where
there's no other things.
Full of the.
Yeah.
Fine.
So, it also cancels anger because
you
have to
be careful not to get angry.
Right.
Yeah.
Even though it's hard. It's a big test. Come on. The big test. Nachman says, sometimes it's a hard. He sees you're fasting. And now, what's going to be? Yeah, you're going to do tshuva now. So, what does he do? He makes you get very, like, be very short tempered. And since you didn't eat anything, makes you get upset with kast. And the kast can ruin the whole fast, can ruin the whole thing. It's a big yitzhar a lot of times to get upset on a fast. That's where Rabbi Akiva was saying. It's a big yitzhar because we're very, we have no patience. I know nothing. So I'm eating. I'm tired. I didn't eat. I'm tired. I'm hungry. And I'm thirsty. Now I'm not feeling good. And we have no patience.
Right, they're going to go to sleep for that.
If you're that type, yes. But
you know yourself.
Some people don't want to be near that. Everybody has to know themselves. So,
so
your chew is to go to sleep.
That's right.
Rabbi Yosef says your chew is to go to sleep.
But if you feel faint,
then you should eat.
You need to put your head down and put your legs up.
Or put your legs up.
It can be very serious.
Okay, if you really feel faint, really that situation, if you eat, maybe you could treat it a little bit.
You also smell some stomach.
Yeah, but some also smell like salt.
That's
but let's see the new Mishnah.
What page are you?
Make sure that you're not going to subthermal.
What's that mean?
If you have existing medical issues,
so when you go below the rabbi.
Right, so make sure you're useful. Yeah.
Make sure that everything is good in your system.
Yeah, sure. What's your question for the day?
You said it's just to an hour a day. On the fast day, when you do the main focus is tshuva, is that, you know, like I did.
So I feel like even then, Arsh writes, actually, in Sharava Tudah, he writes, in the book of Thanks, he writes, even on Tisha B'Av, a person shouldn't dwell too much on the day. He writes there specifically, a person should go say the key to say the lamentation, a person shouldn't make themselves too sad. Not just an hour a day to do tshuva, to focus on the negative. And even that's, you know, even Tisha B'Av, Sabbath prayer of Arsh in the book, even Tisha B'Av, you shouldn't do more than an hour negative. The rest of the day, daven Hashem for the future, daven Hashem help me in the future. A person should never judge themselves more than an hour a day. It seems like even on Tisha B'Av, we can't handle it. We're too weak. We're not too weak. That's what we are. Hashem made us like that. But
it's
enough focusing on the negative for on like you know.
So they spend the part of the asking Hashem help you.
Thanking Hashem, for that. Although he says keep thanking Hashem. That's what he's going to get. Instead of keep thanking Hashem, even on Tisha B'Av. But Hashem, after you leave shul, he writes the Shabbat Tudah. One of the things is worth at the end. Even on Tisha B'Av, said after you go to shul, you can be sad, but don't stay sad the whole day. Even then, thank Hashem. That's what's going to bring the gula. Look at all the good. And thank Hashem, because that's what the gula keeps getting longer because we keep complaining. So don't be complaining and be sad the whole day complaining. Fine, we're sad, we don't have a Mishnah, we hour a day we want to do tshuva on our affairs. After that, thank Hashem, be more positive. Don't be negative. It says wrong to be negative. People think the whole Tishrei to be negative. It says that's wrong. We're not on that level, anyways.
Shouldn't we also pray for the wounded soldiers?
Yeah, we should pray for everybody. Do all your regular resolutions. If Shmuel's asking, maybe we should do more chajma nefesh, maybe do more scrutiny since it's the day of, you know, it's an intense day. But really, Rabbi Ashraf, it can be intense in other ways, but not in that way. Because we have to thank Hashem. Be intense in thanking Hashem. But it's a good question. That's what he writes in the Sefer. So he answers your question a little. Fine, let's try to see the new Mishnah that's about to
yeah. What page are we on?
We're on page Yud Aleph Abraham 11a. We're up to the new Mishnah. Let's see the new Mishnah.
And what line is that?
Line, the Mishnah, the new Mishnah. Okay. I don't know what line it is.
Okay,
By the wide line.
It says, so now what's that Aleph? We learned that until now, someone who kills with Shogeg goes to the Aron Miklat until the Kohen Gadol dies. Correct, Rabbi Aaron? You stay there until the Kohen Gadol dies.
Right.
Now, which Kohen Gadol is this talking about? We're going to learn now there's a bunch of types of Kohen Gadol. There wasn't only one type of Kohen Gadol. Now, which one do you have to die if you need to go free? And the answer is all, any of them. According to the first sheet, the three types. And according to Rabbi Huda, four types. Rabbi Huda is saying any four types of the Kohen Gadol who die, either one of them, then you go free. That's the halacha. Let's see the Mishnah. Echad Mashiach Hashem. Whether it's the Kohen Gadol who was anointed with oil, right, which is up to a certain period in time, up to the Nabi Shayo, then they were anointed with oil. Afterwards, it was too holy, it got hidden. But it was a Kohen Gadol who was anointed with oil. The Echad Hamarubik Bukadim. Or whether it was a Kohen Gadol who wore many clothing. What does that mean? He wore eight clothing instead of four. Kohen Hedith wears four clothing. Kohen wears eight clothing. So that's the second type. The Echad, or whether Sha'avra Mimshichasai, or even if he passed his being anointed. Which means what? Which means, let's say the Kohen Gadol, our permanent Kohen Gadol, has some type of issue. Let's say he's sick, or let's say he became tummy. He can't do what the Kohen Gadol is supposed to do. He can't serve the Mishnah fish today. He's sick. What do we do now? We anoint another person to be the Kohen Gadol. He's going to be the substitute Kohen Gadol, right? Now the minute the regular Kohen Gadol comes back, he goes back home. Nachon? So that's interesting. For this halacha, even if the substitute Kohen Gadol dies, then the guy goes free from the Aron Miklat. The murderer goes free. Even the substitute. So he said three types. Even where the first type was the guy who got anointed with the oils, which is up to a certain stage in history, they used to anoint the Kohen Gadol. Or even after that stage, the Kohen Gadol would be special, he'd wear eight clothing. Right? Now, not only that, even the third thing is, even the substitute Kohen Gadol, if he dies, you also go free from the Ari Mekohen. It's a chiddush. No, it sounds nice, but it's good. See, Shem Ezra Chwanas. Even substitute Kohen, right? Machzir and all of them return the Ritzeh after the murderer goes back home. Rehuda Amid is the fourth type. Af Mashuach Melchama. Even a Kohen Gadol was anointed for war, meaning the special Kohen Gadol that was anointed to announce by for a war, the Kohen Gadol would announce anyone who's scared, anyone who's this, anyone who's married the first year, who has a vineyard, has a new house, go back home. You could have messed it. Anybody who's scared, and they make everybody else scared, they don't believe in Hashem, go back home. So that Kohen Gadol also makes those announcements. He was basically the chief, he was basically the head of war. That's what it was. He became like the general, the highest general of war in the war. He was the chaplain, the highest general of the war. He would also, according to Rehuda, if he dies also, you go free. According to Rabban, he said, no, he's not like a Kohen Gadol serving the Mishnah Mikdash. You don't go free from it. Rehuda says, no. Even this type of Kohen Gadol, you go free. Got there, Yosef? It's good?
You can have more than one Kohen Gadol at a time?
Yeah, because there was one main Kohen Gadol.
Yeah.
And that way there's substitute Kohen Gadol.
But these deputy ones...
Yeah, they won't be at the same time. Yeah, they weren't the main one. Then you have the substitute. Then you have the one who's like the general of war, Kohen Gadol. That was also.
So if any of these lesser Kohen Gadols dies, even if the males are still alive, then they...
Yeah. Okay, so... According to Rehuda holds the fourth one. Rabbanan holds, Tanakam holds, no, only three types. Rehuda holds even the one that's the lower level, just for war, just to be like the general in war, he also, if he dies, you also go free.
Wasn't there one like a Yom Kippur, a standby kind of, so to speak?
Yeah, but he wasn't a Kohen Gadol yet. He would be like, yeah, we didn't say it.
But there's also was a period where there were only some of these and not a regular Kohen Gadol, no? Yeah, or something. So there was only like a Margaret who got
No, we're going to say now. The first type, you only have to. The Shemana Mishcha, but there was only one main Kohen Gadol.
Right.
Either he used to be the one that got anointed with the oil, Shemana Mishcha, and he would wear the ikon. After a certain period, there's no more oil, so he's the same guy, he's the main man, he would just wear the Epa Gadol. That's if he got anointed. There's always one main guy.
Yeah.
So we have the main guy, either he was anointed if we had the oils, or he wore Epa Gadol. Then, the substitute, and then you have the one for the war. The one that was announced by the war, the general of war. So,
isn't there a retired or emeritus Kohen Gadol? Completely retired.
So then he's, I don't think he's not considered. If he's right now not on board, he's not considered a Kohen Gadol. He's not. You don't. If he's completely retired. Then you do not go to. Then he doesn't set you free. He's not. He's someone who's considered a Kohen Gadol now. Who now, as of now, has the title of Kohen Gadol. Not someone who once. Meaning, once upon a time had one. Which is a good question. It sounds like from the Mishnah, it has to be presently a Kohen Gadol. Good?
Yeah.
So that was Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Amar Abishal Mechal Maseh Tzoritzeh. Even one who's anointed, he also brings back the Tzoritzeh. What's the therefore? Wow. So what comes down? The death of the Kohen Gadol is what sets the man free from Ari Mikvah. The Fichah, therefore, Imaseyim Shal Kohanim, the mothers of the Kohanim, famous Mishnah, the mothers of the Kohanim, Mesavkas, they would... Meskavkas lahem, they would like support, they would supply. They supply michya, food, uksus and clothing, to the murderers, kedei in order shelo yispalu amadeim sheyemusu, in order that the murderer should not pray that the Kohen Gadol should die. Right? Because if this guy knows, I'm sitting here in jail until the Kohen Gadol dies. You know, I'm wasting time, you know, let me start praying, the Kohen Gadol should die. So what the Kohen Gadol's mothers used to do is they loved their child. So they sent care packages to the murderers. You know, so therefore they won't doubt that their son should die. Good? That's an interesting mission. See, even Hashem listens to feels the murderers that someone else should die. They see in the Gemara about it. It's interesting. This guy's a murderer and he's dying that some Kohen Gadol should die. You see the power of tefillah. Hashem is still listening. If this person's in pain, he's dying from pain, he wants to be free from it. Because Hashem listens. Hashem would... Good. Shlomo, it's good. Let's see some Rashis. Echad. Kari Moshua. Shavon HaMishon. Rabbi said whether, right? It really literally means like one, but it means in English whether the Kohen was anointed with Shavon HaMishon. Heim Kohanim Gedolim. This is referring to the Kohanim Gedolim. Shahayu, they were ad Yeshio. Until the Navi Yeshio's times, we still had the Shemana Mishka, the anointing oils, and therefore every Kohen Gadol, how would he be appointed? by being anointed. Had Rav Shlomo? When he would be, how would he be appointed? By being anointed. That was up until Yeshua's time. The Echad, the Rav Gadim, or whether it was probably who had more clothing, he wore a clothing. Hey, these are the people, Sheshimshu, that they served, Mi Yeshua Ve'elach, from the time Yeshua and on. Because what happened then? Shenignas, it was hidden, Sheven HaMishcha. The anointing oil was hidden, and I read about her, let me say, in the Gemara and Harius. For more information, look over there on 12a, Pesachas Harius, why it was hidden, the whole story over there.
What does that word mean?
Well, Harius the Mesachta.
What does it mean?
I think it's Lashon Hara. There's like 13 Dafnes, so it's Lashon Hara, I think, for like a pastor about Dayan and Abestin and different things.
13
I think Harius is about, I think, I'm not mistaken, yeah, Harius is a lot to do with Misa and different things, yeah, like a Misa's Bestin. Hara. It's like. Harius, besides Harius, Daf, Yud Beis Amara. That's, I think, it's a very short Mesach. It's hard, but it's like 13 Daf. I think it's the shortest Mesach in Shas, but pretty hard. So, Harius, I heard I know a guy, Benizmani, not Harius, but it's hard. But you could, now if we have Benizmani, you have something to do. Learn a Daf a day of besides Harius. And you'll make a scene at the end of your 13 day Benizmani. Well, be here. If they make what's it called, if they make a Benizmani, then. Oh. Oh, fine. Vishuv, like Nimshachu Kehane. And from then on, like Nimshachu, they were not Nimshach, they were not anointed the Kehane. The Kuhuna Gedela was not recognized by him. Ella Beruvi Begadim, only with adding more clothing. Shemishmesh Bechas Begadim. That they served, what's the Shemishmesh? With all 8 Begadim. Good. So good. So it used to be, how do you know a person becomes a Kohen Gadol? If he gets anointed, how do you become a official Kohen Gadol? You get anointed. Then it was with the Eid of God. Like these days, how do you become chief rabbi? The chief rabbi, they become chief rabbi, they make a whole ceremony, they put on that fancy cloak, Friday chief rabbi, it's a whole ceremony. So these days also, you know, every day, these days they make a whole ceremony. You know, the chief rabbi, they put the whole thing on.
Yeah.
The whole robot, it's a whole ceremony. It's like the Kohen Gadol, the Shemayim Begadim. That was how he became Kohen Gadol, officially. Making the big thing. Like a whole huge ceremony. They made a last sukkah. The Duchy Rabbi, this Friday, when they put the whole thing on. It's a fancy thing. It's like the Kohen Gadol. Fancy cloak ceremony. Yeah, he's the rabbi, the chief rabbi. He's like the chief. This Friday, the Shemayim one just wears regular clothes. It's not like fancy, he just wears regular things.
Yeah.
This Friday, when he
makes
Shalom Tzion, he wears a fancy thing. Fancy robe. Fine. So he said, whether you were anointed or if you wore a clothing, then when you die, the guy goes free. The echad shav mishuch chasay, whether one, he was got passed from being anointed. Meaning what? She'era, it happened to psul the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol became psul for some reason. Whether he became tamei, something happened to the Kohen Gadol for some reason. Yeah, let's see. You know, could have been he was allowed to become tamei to one of his. No, it's the Kohen Gadol, I don't know, to become tamei to one of his relatives. Something happened. It's like the Kohen Gadol, for some reason, he couldn't serve now. For whatever reason, right? So what happens? We need a substitute. We need the Kohen Gadol every day in the Beis HaMikdash, right? We can't. He does certain avaydus. He does certain things in the Beis HaMikdash. The Shemesh Achatach. Someone else serves under him. When it's rapid, when he gets better, when it's interesting, says he got better. His mind said they were talking about he got sick. So what happens when the Kohen Gadol gets better? So now, Kohen Chazer, La'avidasai. But the Kohen Gadol goes back to his job, and this guy gets removed. But this guy, since he's a substitute Kohen Gadol, if he dies also, the guy that Rosea goes free. What do you say, Rabbi? It's good? Red. Good, fine. Machzir is the Rosea, we return the Rosea, but we saw some one day die. When Shneur, like it says, after the Kohen Gadol, the pasuk says, after the Kohen Gadol dies, the Ritzel goes back. The Yehuda said, even a Mashuach Melchama, Kohen HaMashuach, one who's anointed, to save a Melchama, Tarechna Melchama, Aleich Levav, says, don't let your heads soft, your hearts get soft, don't be weak. Right? You give a whole speech to Pesukim, say, before a war, he also, if he dies, the Ritzel, the murderer, goes free. Goes with 3 types and maybe 4 types. Good? Now he said, the Kohen Gadol's mother prayed, sends care packages. They don't daven that her son should die. Well, it's good, no?
Yeah.
Somebody asked why, did, you know, Reb Shlomo said, what about his wife? It's not like the mothers care about their son more than their wife. I don't know. Reb Shlomo said, why doesn't their wife send the packages? I don't know.
I did.
Because his wife should send them. I don't know. The mothers always have a certain love for their children. Certain worry. I think it's more than worry. Some of the Jewish mothers, they worry more. So she's worried. So she's worried. Everyone's dying for her. She's paranoid. Some people are dying for her son to die. So she sends these packages. Maybe also the Kagel's wife doesn't have time. She's busy with her own kids. Maybe the, what's it called? You know, her mother, you know, she's already a grandmother. Her mother was busy. I don't know. It's interesting.
His mother.
I'm sure his wife also died. But it's a mother. It's a Jewish mother. She died for him. That he shouldn't. That he should have done. Let's just see, try to see this first piece of we know how to meet it. Where do we know this from? Where do we know that the murderer's being set free is dependent on the Kohen Gadol's death? Amar Kahana, the Amar Kra, the pasuk says that Yeshiv ba ad mais a Kohen Gadol. He should sit there until the Kohen Gadol dies. That's one pasuk. Uchsev it also says keep the ear miklat the Yeshiv. He should sit in the ear miklat ad mais a Kohen Gadol until the Kohen Gadol dies. That's pasuk number two. We have a third pasuk. After the Kohen Gadol dies. So you have three psukim that teach me that when the Kohen Gadol dies, he's set free. Now, Rabbi Yossi, you got what the Gemara is saying? Why is the Gemara bringing three psukim? What are you trying to tell us? That why does the Torah have to tell me three times when the Kohen Gadol dies, he gets set free? Because it's referring to three different types of Kohen Gadol. Right? According to Tanakh, it's either the guy who's anointed, or the person who is wears Epe Gadim, or the substitute. So the Pasuk is telling me three different psukim. Said when the Kohen Gadol dies, he's set free. Why did it tell me three times? Each time he's referring to a different Kohen Gadol. And the sand says, Kondri Yehuda says, no, I have a fourth Pasuk. I said, therefore, I said there's a fourth type of Kohen Gadol. Yehuda says, Kra. Achrina says, Lashu Lashavis, Ba'aretz Admai, says, Kohen Gadol. He said, I have a fourth Pasuk that tells me that, A, when the Kohen Gadol dies, he goes free. There must be a fourth type of Kohen Gadol. The Edom, what about the Rabbanon? Why do they say it's only three types? What do they say about this last pasuk? But the likes of HaGadol, since it's called Kohen Kohen Gadol, Chad Mehanach, which one of the ones we mentioned earlier. Me like this. The Rabbanon say, I have three psukim that tell me when the Kohen Gadol dies, he gets set free. Right? What do I need three psukim for? They teach me the three different Kohen Gadol. What about Rehuda says he has a fourth pasuk. Rehuda says the fourth pasuk teaches that there's also a fourth type. That's what I wanted to say. Let's see the first Rashi in the Gemara. The Ishmael is Kohen Gadol Hachad. Ki Yimei Kolat Hashemai is Kohen Gadol Hachrei. Achmai is Kohen Gadol Yashrei Tzeich Hachlas of three pesukim. So according to that guy, there's three pesukim. According to what's called, there are four pesukim. Okay, Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem Wednesday, as in every Wednesday, we'll try to continue to the bottom of the page. Baruch Hashem. Fine. Aha, Rav Ram's here.